games on the schedule?
No!
That doesn't stop us from talking football. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development. Here are your hosts, past WFCA President Tom Swiddle and WSSP High School Insider Big Time Mike McGiver.
It's time. It's back. The WFCA show. I'm Mike McGiver alongside. He is the past president of WFCA Hall of Fame member, former head coach at Brookfield East, and he's my friend, Tom Swiddle. Coach, how you been?
I've been great, Mike.
Man, it's good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Saw you last Saturday. That was a really good event. Thank you for letting me be a part of that.
Thanks. Well, Mike, you earned that. You know, the award you got, the Dave McLean Distinguished Service Award, is given to individuals who go above and beyond in their support of football, and that is definitely you. We really appreciate all you have done for us.
I appreciate that. It was a really good event, and it was run extremely well. Did not know how good Dave Keel was at MCing.
Yeah.
I walked up to him after and said, thank God I don't have to follow you. Holy cow. He started laughing, and he was so good. I'm sitting at the main table next to Paul Christ and his mom, Patty, who's my new best friend, by the way, Patty.
Well, I bet she is.
And,
wonderful woman.
Really good. She was phenomenal. And my wife leaned over and said, this is kind of surreal. Don't you think we should be down there? And I said, yeah, I think we should be down there. Let me run down today's show. Tony Rush, owner of Raising Stakes Fundraising Leadership Development, is in studio with us. We're going to talk to him about what's going on with his company. Then John Lehman. Looking forward to talking to John. I've known John for a long time. Last time I saw him was at Ballastrieri's.
Oh, yeah.
So right away when he walked in studio, I thought about Ballastrieri's Pizza, which is great. Tony Biola is going to join us at 10:45. We're going to talk about the combine, and we're going to be out there. Hopefully we'll have 2 hours instead of 1 hour this year. Matt Harris, head coach from Waukesha South.
Waukesha North.
I said South. Sorry, that's Matt. I've known Matt forever. Waukesha North is going to be in studio, and then we'll end the show talking to Tony about something other than raising the stakes. He's got a new venture. It's a pretty cool company. We'll talk to him about that. Tony, how you been?
I'm fantastic, Mike. Thanks for having me.
You know,
again.
It worked out really well. The last show, the U Sports Show, we're talking to the Franklin Youth Football people, and they said, so how do you guys raise money? He said, well, we do a great cookie dough fundraiser. I said, please tell me, right on the air, please tell me you work with Tony Rush raising the stakes. And they go, we do. Yeah, he does a great job. I said, because if not, I would tell you to make sure you start working with him. How's business? Everything's going well?
Yeah, business is fantastic. We're always excited to work with great people. Franklin Youth Football is one of our model programs. See, I just talked to Dave out in the hallway on the way in. He's a great man, and that organization, you know, again, they're a model because they truly get it. They know how to treat kids, how to treat parents, and they have some great expectations for the kids to go out and work and do a great job with cookie dough sales.
You know, and Coach Swiddle, and I know John's going to agree with this as well, when you have high expectations for kids, it's amazing what they can do. It's when you think, well, my kid, they can't do that, that they don't accomplish anything. So when you talk about a program like that, that a lot of people outside of the Franklin Youth Football Program ask me about, how do they do this? How do they get so many kids? How do they get so many volunteers? How do they do this and this and this? Well, because they, you know, they expect more, I think.
I agree. And, you know, talking about the getting people to do things, you haven't seen a motivator until you've seen Tony come and talk to your team on the kickoff of his fundraising. It's incredible.
Well, I know that he does a better job than anybody else in there. And here's how I know it, because the people, like, that were just in studio, when they say, look, we love working with them. Talking to people outside of these coaches, when I talk to the parents and the Booster Club people that you work with, Tony, the one thing that they always talk about is, look, he's not here to make as much money off us as he can, like other companies we've worked with in the past.
It's not important how much money we make. That's never any issue for us. What we want is to help, number one, make as much money for the program as possible. So we pride ourselves on giving the most profits back. I used to work for a big national company, and it was a lot of overhead, a lot of people in the office that had to get paid, so the percentages weren't there. We're a small mom-and-pop operation. I've got six reps that work for me that we cover the state of Wisconsin, and I pay them 95% commission. I'm not in it to make money off of them either. I want them to be able to enjoy the life that I live. I'm my own boss. I get up in the morning knowing that I can make a difference in the world working with great people. And we want to develop character and help young kids become leaders in the community too. So our messaging, like Coach, I appreciate the compliment very much. We put a lot of passion and effort into letting the kids know this isn't about asking for people to buy cookie dough. This is about going out, working for what you want in life, and creating your own way in a work ethic that's going to set you up for the rest of your life. And then we give them some great pointers on how to do it. It's not just, hey, do you want to buy some cookie dough? It's, hey, can you help me and my teammates in our effort to becoming better young people? What a powerful message. And for anybody that would say no to that, I think you got to check yourself at the door.
RaisingTheStakesInc.com. One word, RaisingTheStakesInc.com for more information on Tony and his organization. And it's just not cookie dough. You've got a lot of things going on, man. And I don't know how you keep them all. You must stay up at night just trying to figure all this out. But did this start as mostly cookie dough?
Yeah, it started. That was the cornerstone, certainly. Cookie dough as a company, we do over 100,000 boxes of cookie dough a year that the kids that we work with go out and sell to friends and family and neighbors and coaches and teachers and everybody that we can ask to support them. But we need more than just cookie dough. You know, people have the misconception that you can do too many cookie dough sales, but every group we work with has different family members and different people in different areas of the country. So, but we've expanded. You know, we do have pizza, we do have Kringle, we do have chocolate covered stuff. We've got our leadership discount tickets, which is a discount card, like many people would probably know as the gold card over the years.
Right.
But we do it where it's a messaging, where the kids actually come up with what their theme or mantra is for the year, and then they go out and promote that. So they take a lot of pride in that. And the chair just about slipped off from underneath
fall.
Me. That's
Man.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up.
Well, and we have a lawyer here. Don't fall, yeah. Please.
No.
Yeah, John, you didn't see that,
right?
You
didn't see that, right?
Yeah. In fact, I know they're covered pretty well here.
Yeah, good. I'm sure, yeah.
I still don't want him falling, John.
Good thing I'm a little bit nimble still. Yeah. But then we also have our Support the Troop option, which has been amazingly awesome. It's something that we do as a company. We take care of for the parents. But people can go online either to our website and donate, or they can make a donation direct to the organization. And then we go out and we get handheld snacks, new pairs of socks, and baby wipes and ship them overseas. It's just some small creature comforts, our way of showing our appreciation for the brave men and women that defend our country and allow us to do what we do. So,
Tony, is there a common... You know, the norm of the group that you work with, or is it all over the board? You work with football, obviously, athletic teams all over the board, along with other groups that are looking to raise money?
I don't think there's an organization that's a nonprofit-driven organization that I haven't had an opportunity to work with. We've worked with churches. We work with 4-Hs. We work with just small community groups. We work with the fine arts inside of the high schools, the bands and choirs and special languages. And then every single sport on the planet we've had an opportunity to, whether it's football to lacrosse to golf to tennis,
hockey,
you name it. There is not a group that we have not had the honor to be able to work with so far.
Is Southeast Wisconsin your best area?
Well, I think Southeast Wisconsin and then the Fox Valley, Green Bay area. We've got a couple of guys. One's my roommate from college, and the other one I played football with up at UW Oshkosh. And then my roommate from college, his nephew, actually has joined the team now. So the three of them do an unbelievable job up there. And we continue to grow as far as the number of people that have just found a nice belief in what we do and great coaches helping spread the word about how we treat people.
Not bad for a boy from Krivitz, right?
Yeah, Krivitz population under 1,000. And it's crazy how life goes full circle. I come from a very humble background, grew up on a resort in Krivitz. My mom and dad have been servant leaders their whole life, but until we got into this whole leadership thing, didn't understand what that meant. And they gave me the base for how to treat people. It's never been about the money. It's always been about what can I do to make the world a better place? And oh, by the way, if you do that, it's amazing how life treats you back.
He's Tony Rush. Go to RaisingTheStakesInc.com. RaisingTheStakesInc.com. Crivitz.com.
Yeah, and I just want to add, when I drive through Crivitz on my way up to Michigan Tech, I like to send Tony some snapshots of, you know, how Crivitz is looking these days.
Well, there's one sports bar there that serves good food. What's the name of it?
The Gateway, right there on the highway. Yeah.
We used to go up there a lot because Northland Baptist was up in that area, yeah. Dunbar. And so we would drive to, we'd stay in Crivitz, go to Northland Baptist and watch some basketball and then head back. So,
yep.
Yeah.
But, Tony, when you talk about your leadership development, when you look at some of the coaches involved with you, it's a real who's who of high school coaches.
Yeah, that's the really humbling, I mean, super humbling thing for me. Dave Keel, great personal friend. I've worked with him for 10 years, both with football and softball. Now he's retired from softball. Clay Iverson, Steve Jones just joined our organization this year as far as working with us now for fundraising, and Steve's done a lot of leadership speaking for us. He's amazing. If you ever get a chance to listen to Coach Jones, his message is so on point, and 55 consecutive wins to lead the nation right now as far as wins, consecutive wins, yourself included. I could go on and on. I've got, you know, probably five of the top six or seven programs in the state, and certainly goes on from there. So it's just a super humbling thing for us to know that the best of the best are working with us. We believe we're very good at what we do, and I think how we treat people is what sets us apart.
And, you know, I've never, in working with you through the years, we've never not made our fundraising goals working with Tony. He will find a way to make it happen.
And, look, if you're an organization that needs to raise money, and it doesn't, you don't have to be a sports team, and I think in the past I've probably talked more about sports teams with what you do because I'm most comfortable in that arena. But if you're the band at a high school, if you're the drama club at a high school, if you're, you know, just a local group trying to raise some money, RaisingTheStakesInc.com is where I would start. And just get a chance to spend some time with Tony. And trust me, if you spend a few minutes with him in the room, he's going to let you know what he can do, how he can do it. And that's where you're going to work. Because the people that he has gotten a chance to meet, they immediately start working with him and start making money. We are near the end of the show going to talk about Team Escape 262. And I see that smile on your face. I've been out there. That's a really cool thing you're doing.
Yeah, super exciting. It's the escape room concept for anybody that does not know what that is. We lock you in a room for 60 minutes. We've got different themed rooms. There's a pirate theme, a prison theme, and then a professional kitchen theme.
Well,
and
how come all you guys looked at me when they said prison theme?
Well, we
wait
all
a minute, what are you looking at? No, go ahead, I'm sorry.
We want you to relive your past.
But I'm pumped.
But we lock you in the room for an hour. You find clues and solve puzzles and open locks to find more clues and solve more puzzles. It's a great brain workout. And the coaches that we've talked to so far absolutely love it because they can sit with our game master, the person that sees and hears how the kids interact. And the coach can now, we offer it where our coaches can sit and see how their kids interact with one another to identify their best leaders.
Yeah.
And so team building wise, if you have a youth football or youth anything or high school program, we would
coming.
Love to see you.
Yep. Intercom Milwaukee. Our yep. sales staff is coming.
Yep.
I didn't realize that they're going to be able to listen. I'll have to take my leadership role up a little. No, I'm probably not.
We do have duct tape for certain people. That yeah.
Can you just see? I'm claustrophobic. Can you just let me out if I have to get out? Or
that's the one thing. There are some escape rooms that are pretty tight, but we've prided ourselves in probably 60 to 80% larger rooms. And we don't pack them in, again, just to make money. We want people to have a great experience, and so far that's been definitely the case.
Again, RaisingTheStakesInc.com for more information on their company. We're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, John Lehman. We're going to talk to him. Really good article that he wrote, Tom.
Excellent article.
Yeah, we'll talk to John on the other side of the break. It's really good to see him. He's one of the real, not that you're not, Tony, one of the real gentlemen that I know, but John is.
Oh, he's way better than me, for sure.
Toughest act to beat right here. Yeah.
It is a tough one, but we'll get through it. I promise you that. In fact, you're going to get a chance the next couple of months to hear a commercial that Sparky and I did for the escape room, and it's okay. I like it.
Oh, that was fun to hear it when you sent it to me via email. All my team, all the ownership group was super excited to
We're going to make some little changes on the music.
Yeah, that's all right. We'll hop it up a little bit. But we love what you guys did. It was great.
Thanks.
Sparky was awesome.
John Layman on the other side of the break, the true gentleman in this room. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host, Tom Swiddle, former head coach at Brookfield East. We're joined by the owner of Raising the Stakes Fundraising, Tony Resch. Also in studio, John Layman. He is corporate counsel for Racine County, WFCA Hall of Fame of 2015. Congratulations on that.
Thank you, sir.
That was a cool event.
And you've been there and gone through it, and and I'd been there before, and my brother was inducted into the Hall of Fame several years before I was, and went to that, and it seemed like such a great big event, but when you're actually partaking and being and participating, and then, you know, you said earlier that you know, Dave Keel is the MC of MCs, and you're just around such great people. But the pomp and circumstance,
yeah,
the ceremony of it, I think, is so
and
so outstanding.
The food is good. I mean, I hate to say that. I mean, I've been to a million of those things, and the food is good, and the dessert was good. My wife didn't finish hers, but somehow it got finished, and it was awesome. Hey, John, we have you in. We're going to discuss a recent article. In the point after two, concussion risk management, expanding your role that Tom, you know, it sent to me and said, man, this is what we're going to talk to John about. So it's great stuff.
Yeah, John, I think your article on concussion risk management is an absolute must read for all coaches, not just football coaches, but really all coaches, regardless of the sport that you play. And I think you've done a wonderful job of putting a framework as to why you want to do that kind of thing. Now, you point out in the article that Wisconsin enacted a concussion legislation in 2011, and things have really escalated since then. What are some of the factors that have led up to this escalation of you know, taking care of yourself legally with this kind of thing as a coach?
Well, I think, first of all, I'll say, you know, going back to the legislation, since the time the state enacted our own legislation, and we were just, I think, one of about 30 or 34 states at that time, but now every state, including the District of Columbia, has legislation in their books for concussion. Really, it's concussion protocol, and I think it's just the trend. It's the media. It's the attention that it's gotten. There's been a lot of talk, you know, with the players' union and the NFL and their action against the NFL, and you hear about it more and more. It's rare when you turn on a football game anywhere and somebody's not talking about it in some capacity. So I think the state legislatures were kind of pressured. That's kind of the way these things go anyway. Laws come into effect in a responsive fashion. And so now it's on us. And so now, you know, obviously I have a lot of years coaching, and, you know, I started coaching in 1980, and things were a lot different then, as you know, and we all played at a different time. When you know, the way injuries were handled, even, and it was so different. And so now I think it's incumbent upon coaches to really understand where their role is. And that was, you know, what we talked about over the last year or so, and how we can maybe bring attention to it. It was worth, I think, writing about. Thanks for the compliment. My wife, Lenny, I might say, is my chief editor. So if it's readable at all, it's because of her. So, but no, we and you and I have talked about this. I mean, we're the coaches in WFCA. we're trying to stem that tide. We're trying to maybe make the swing the pendulum a little bit, there, you know, get the participation, especially at the youth level. You know, the more parents hear about concussions, probably the less likely, you know, you're going to be in, you're less inclined maybe to let your kid get involved in it. So I think it's time that, you know, we're all paying attention to our role, and that that was kind of the gist of the article, is that the coaches really now need to understand how we should really pay attention to the risk management piece of it. You know, I started out as a teacher. I was a late law student. You know, I went to school 8 years, to law school 8 years after I was, you know, through my education experience. But I never got off the field, and I've been a coach. And so kind of bringing these two worlds together, you know, at this point made sense. And I am the county's risk manager as well in Racine. So we're always looking every day at, you know, everything. We're paying attention to all the different angles.
We're talking to John Lehman. Normally football coaches aren't lawyers, because none of us are smart enough for that. So congratulations, John. The part of the article that really jumped off the page to me as a basketball coach, as a coach, is where you say each plan will be unique to your school and your team. However, the following elements should be accounted for in all of your plans, and the formulation of emergency action plan, training the parents, players, coaches, administration, really important. Mm-hmm. Documentation and avoid conflicts of interest. I think when you said this is a must read for all coaches, I agree with you, Tom. I think this should be sent out through the WFCA to every football coach in the state of Wisconsin to say, hey, look, this gives you kind of a map and a plan. And if you don't have a plan, this will help you develop one.
Well, especially when you look at something else John said in the article. He compares the public to potential jurors. And, you know, you get yourself in that situation.
Yes.
Right?
Well, there isn't a coach anywhere in any sport, high school coach, that gets paid enough to go through the experience of being examined on a witness stand and not having the information that you really need. When you're a defendant in a lawsuit, and it progresses to the point, not just, you know, to trial, but, you know, you're being deposed along the way, and there are immunities. I might just say there's statutory immunities, you know, recreational immunities for and this particular, our state statute on concussion also protect coaches and administrators as well. But I don't think we're talking about, you know, the kids that we coach, we're looking out for their best interest. You never want to set a standard for anything where you're using some kind of immunity as a guideline for the way you're going to establish your protocol or your routine or your game plan. So it's really, I think, a matter of this, and you're right, this is for basketball coaches. I mean, all sport,
yes,
has a potential for a concussion. Gymnastics.
Soccer.
Yeah, soccer.
As Tom knows,
oh,
firsthand.
Yeah. You bet.
Yeah, I think
my daughter had three of them.
Yeah, through soccer. And yep. How many, son played football since third grade, how many has he had?
Zero. But that doesn't get in the paper.
No, and it doesn't, and you don't hear high up people in the government say, if I had sons, I'd tell them never to play soccer. You'd never hear that.
Right.
You know, you wouldn't, but you'd hear, you know, if I had sons, I wouldn't let them play football. And the reason this show started is, you know, there are people that believe football's never been safer. And a lot of people at the WFCA say, look, with all the stuff that we're doing, and then you include this article that John wrote. If you put this in the hands of the people that should be reading this, and now they if they haven't set up a plan because of this, we're even better off. We're gonna get to a break. Tony Resch is a parent of a football player, and we're gonna talk to him a little bit about some of this stuff as well. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show, presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host, Tom Swiddle. He is a former WFCA Hall of Fame. No, you're not a former Hall of Fame guy.
They haven't kicked me out yet.
You're the former president. Hey, Brezowitz took control up there, man. Brezowitz is like, it's 5:31. Get in there.
He sounds angry, doesn't he? At that thing?
Well, we just want to take one more picture of my mom with her walker. And he's like, hey, lady, get moving. Let's go. And I'm like, man, Brezowitz, you are kind of angry. He said, no, I'm a timely guy. Let's go. We're on time. Join us in studio, the owner Raising Stakes Fundraising, Tony Resch, and John Lehman. He is the corporate counsel for Racine County, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association Hall of Fame member 2015, and he has written a really good piece. Tom said that this is a must-read for coaches, and I agree with him. What kind of response have you gotten from this, John?
Well, I was really pleasantly surprised. You know, I went up to the clinic last weekend, and there were a lot of had a lot of people come up at the Hall of Fame luncheon actually and comment on it. So I was surprised, you know, just that the number of people that mentioned something. So, you know, they really took time and went through it and were very generous with their compliments.
Hey, John, can I ask you, parents and players, and you put this in your second paragraph, are becoming much more educated on this. And I think education is always a good thing. You know, if they're getting bad advice or bad education, bad stuff that's not true, that can hurt it. But somebody like Tony, who's a parent of a player, I think it's important that they also read this and understand that if they're involved with a program, the program has to make sure that they have a plan in place for all of this.
Yeah, and that's the critical nature of it. Not just have a plan, so that you're going to have somebody put it together for you. And all the districts, of course, have their own attorneys. Attorneys aren't usually in the building, you know, in the individual schools, but they do represent the districts, and oftentimes they're in-house counsel. So they really give you great legal advice. But I think it's important, more on a macro level, that each not just each coach be completely familiar with the plan and the protocol. But that the principal, the athletic director, the trainer, and then, you know, we're talking about education, so the teacher needs to understand it too, because these kids are, you know, trying to come back in and assimilate back into the classroom too, and sometimes there can be a delay. And so everybody really has to know it. Going back to the parent and the athlete, that's important, I think, because you really want the open and honest conversation happening. You don't want the kid to mask or not be fully open to not just the parents but the coach about really what's going on inside his head.
Really important. I love the last piece of this, the last paragraph. The only sign in Woody Hayes' coach's locker room read, "If you don't, they won't." Head coaches must take the lead on concussion risk management. Success of the plan will depend upon the commitment of your program's leader. Tom, when you were at Brookfield East, we had that conversation a lot. Yeah. You started some of the things on what you would do at practice, what you wouldn't do at practice, well before the WIA told you what to do.
Right.
Because you were kind of ahead of the game on this whole thing.
Well, I was lucky enough to be a part of those discussions, being a member of the football advisory and knowing what's kind of coming down the pike, you know, with thoughts around the National Federation and things. Yeah, so, I mean, I knew that you know, practice formats were going to change. I knew that there was going to be a limit on how much contact you can have in a week, you know, those kinds of things. So, yeah, I instituted that well before it became mandated. And one thing that I do want to point out is you know, the WIAA has a big place in this, and they've been very progressive as well. And I think our Coaches Association and the WIAA has worked very well together to stay ahead of the curve, to come up with things before it's, you know, mandated at a national level. You know, so yeah.
Hey, John, how can people that are listening, how can they get their hands on this article?
You know, I'd be happy to send it to them. I think we there's probably a way to get. I don't know if the articles are actually electronically posted.
They're not.
Yeah. So,
but you know what? I'll see what I can do to get that on the WFCA website.
Yeah, that would be awesome. And I have a copy of it. And most of the people that listen can reach out to me here. And if it's okay with you, John and Tom, if I can
absolutely
send this, people, give me a call at 414-448-2104, reach out to me and I'll forward this to you. Tony, being a parent of a young man that plays football, a couple of them now, correct?
Yes, a couple of
yeah
them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is really important to you, this kind of stuff. And I know that as a parent that you just want your boys to enjoy playing football and be healthy. And to know that you're part of a program that takes the kind of they have a plan in place. Depending on what happens, if there's an injury.
Yeah, again, being at Homestead for Mason, who's a freshman now and played football for Coach Keel there, I would say this to parents, as a parent, trust that your coaches and your trainers are giving you the information that's going to keep your kids safe, and don't fight them on it just because you want them to go in the game and score the winning touchdown or throw the winning pass. That is so not important in the big picture of life because, let's face it, they're probably not going to go to the NFL. A handful of kids get to do that. What are they going to do with the rest of their life? So why risk putting them back on the field, being obstinate with people, and making a tough situation? So for parent to parent, please be respectful and trust that your coaches and trainers know what the heck they're doing.
Yeah, it would be great if all parents thought this way. Wouldn't it, John? Wouldn't it just be an easier sell when they read an article like this?
Yeah, and I think for the most part that's what's going on. But you read about the stories, and that's where, you know, you in the lawsuits when you start studying, you know, on an annual basis, the cases that come up, you know,
and you cite several of them in your article.
I do, and you know, I'm really surprised. I was driving home the other day last week, and I heard on one of the national programs that North Carolina is enacting or is proposed legislation that's going to actually shift the return to play decision from medical staff to parents. And I thought that was so interesting because it's really, and we get into this a little bit in the article, you really do want, you can be conflicted in this decision making, right? You don't want the coaches to be in a hiring firing situation or where they have the training staff subordinate to them. You want them independent because you really don't want any pressure on the training staff or the medical staff to make that decision. And you know, Tom has always been, and this is, I was so impressed with this at Brookfield East, where he was completely removed from a return to play decision. And when the trainer said he was good to go, then he showed back up and he's good to go.
John, do you think North Carolina's thinking if they return it to the parents, then they're not liable for it?
Yeah, and I'm sure that was part of some of the conversation, and that's probably the way, you know, at least it's being spun. But, you know, there's a tremendous pressure in some, you know, I mean, I'm sure that in some socioeconomic environments, it's a ticket to get to college, and you know there might be more pressure, and I think parents, you know, really can at times be less objective. So,
and I would just throw out to you, because it did happen to me in my career. I had a young man, a quarterback, who had suffered a concussion, got cleared the next week to play by a doctor. I mean, somehow the young man and his dad found a doctor to clear him. I vetoed it. I did not play him in the game. And they weren't happy with me, and a coach can still do that. And yeah, it takes maybe guts to do that, but I wouldn't let him play. Afterward, both the young man and the parent thanked me.
And I
so
think
you can still say no.
Still
even
do
it.
Yeah,
really, your own personal checks and balances should be worked into your plan. Your plan should be understood by everybody on your staff, including your freshman staff. And even those, I would say that, you know, getting back to the show that you had on earlier, Mac, that if you have somehow to dominion and control over your youth program, they should also understand what your plan is and follow it.
Yeah, I agree. John, thank you so much. It's good to see you.
Good to see you, Mac.
Yeah, one of the true gentlemen in our game. He is You can call me. John Lehman wrote this article, and again, he is corporate counsel down in Racine County, and it's a really well-thought-out plan that I think that every coach, and if I'm a parent, I would want to read this as well. We're going to get to a break. Other side of the break, WFCA President Tony Biola is going to join us. We got a combine coming up.
We do.
A couple of weeks, right?
Yes, sir.
April 29th?
April 29th.
Yeah. We'll do our show from out there.
Yes, we are.
Hold on. Knock on wood. We'll get both hours in. Yeah, we only got 1 hour last year. We'll get them both this year. John, it's good to see you.
Thanks a lot.
You bet. This is the Pick and Save Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back to the WFCA show. I'm Mike McGivern alongside my co-host Tom Swiddle. We're joined by the owner. He is the owner of Raising the Stakes Fundraising, Tony Rush. Also joined in studio by Matt Harris. We're going to talk to him more in depth at 11:15. Head coach at Waukesha North. Waukesha North. You heard that, right?
I did, driving
yeah.
in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I drove a little bit faster.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, Swiddle almost flew out of his chair, man, before I could say, no, not Waukesha, no, it's south, it's north. Yeah, that's not good. We are now joined, Tony Biola. He is the president of WFCA. It was good to see him last week. He's also the chair of the Combine coming up on the 29th. Tony, how you doing?
Good, good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. Boy, this combine came up quick. Man, it's a couple of weeks. We're down at Sussex Hamilton.
Sure did. We're on the countdown right now. I mean, I thought you know, we'd do some stuff at the clinic like we've done in the past years and filled up pretty fast already, and we're in the home stretch.
Well, we're looking forward to doing the show live out there, that's for sure. How many student-athletes you have signed up so far?
Yeah, we're over 550 now. We capped it at 550 athletes probably 2 weeks ago, and we started a waiting list, and we've gotten some other guys that are slowly but surely adding, and as people drop off and add on, we're probably just over that amount right now.
You know, last year when I was out there, and because we were having issues with the radio station for the first hour, I got a chance to really kind of pay attention to what you guys are doing. What I just thought it was really well run. Like, guys knew that they were supposed to be here in this time. You're going to register here. You're going to warm up here. You're going to test here. And you got people in and out. And it almost looked like a well-oiled machine the first couple of hours. And then I had to leave, and I'm sure it just continued that way. But it was really impressive, Tony.
Thanks. It did. And that's a credit to the volunteers that are there and Next Level Sports. Brad Arnett and his crew come in and do all of the timing and the testing of the kids. The Sussex Hamilton staff is there doing the registration. Getting that large number of kids through there and just having the things done the way it is, it works out really well. Obviously, the kids pay attention to when they need to be there. We learned 2 years ago, you know, just that we had to separate a little bit instead of having kids wait half a day for their testing time. We sort of staggered the registration last year. I think that helped. But make no doubt, the Next Level people and the volunteers, the coaches, the high school coaches we have there volunteering, help out a ton just making sure getting kids where they need to be when they need to be there. And like you said, I mean, it seems like a pretty well-oiled machine, but coaches know what they're doing when they have that huge number of kids, and football coaches especially are used to dealing with bigger numbers like that.
Tony, you're kind of understating your role in this thing. I mean, yes, we're only a few weeks away from it, but your organization of this event has been going on for months.
Yeah, I mean, Travis Wilson and I do a lot of stuff ahead of time. He actually gets everything together for the website and everything, and you know, I'm just looking at the numbers and putting things together, getting the stuff ready for the day of, but he's the one that's really put things together and make sure we know what we've got where. We'll send an email. We're probably going to shift a group of kids from one session to another right now just to try to even out some numbers. We'll get a large number of kids through in the morning session, but we're probably going to have to shift a couple of groups or a group of kids to the later session if they can to even some numbers out. But, yeah, you're right. There's a lot of work ahead of time that goes into just making sure that 6 to 8 hour day works out pretty good.
And, you know, you mentioned all the people involved from Next Level to the volunteers to the participants themselves, but somebody you did not mention were the college coaches that will be attending.
Yeah.
You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I think the biggest unique factor that we have is the college coaches that attend. You know, and we invite all of the colleges from the state, obviously, but from anywhere. You know, they're more than welcome to come in and just observe. They end up getting a chance to eyeball some kids and see what they're doing for times. And the coaches that are there have a good chance to talk to those guys, the college coaches. Just getting to know the kids and having, you know, like I said, giving them the eyeball test is a really big deal. College coaches get a chance to see kids on film all year long, but you know they really, really want to see those kids, you know, on foot and see what they can do when they're in a drill or what they do against somebody else. You know, that's, when they have their own camps, they love having kids on campus for camps, but it's probably the next best thing for them. And we had over 40 different colleges represented last year, and I would expect much the same this year.
Hey Tony, can you talk about what you're going to test these kids in? As far as the different things that you're going to time and what kind of tests and different events or, you know, I know the vertical broad jump, the L drill and things like that, but are there other things that you guys are going to test these guys on?
We do a height and weight. We'll get an accurate height and weight for the college guys. 40-yard dash. We do the pro agility shuttle, a 5-10-5, and then a vertical and a broad jump. Maybe the different one we'll do, we try to do, you know, like the combine does that bench press test. We'll do a bench press test. We stagger it a little bit. I think it's 135 or 155 for the freshmen, 155 for the sophomores, and then 185 for the juniors or the upcoming seniors for what they tested. So we won't go too massive of weights, but just a upper body strength test to see where they're at, what they've done in the weight room for the past season or so.
Hey, are we getting guys from all over the state coming in?
We are. We are. There's quite a few, actually, from, like, you know, there's some kids coming down from Superior. Last year, I think we had one or two from Superior that came down. I know I saw a few up from Superior this year already. Chippewa Falls, Menominee. There's a lot of kids from the northern part of the state, and obviously just a huge, huge number from the southern part and the southeast portion of the state, right where it's located. But we're getting very, very large numbers from all across the state. And, you know, and what Tom alluded to, you know, having the college coaches there, I think, is a big deal. I know some of those guys have asked that, you know, they've told kids that they want to see, you know, at the combine. And I think it's just a good chance for the kids to perform right in front of the coaches. So if they think they've got something, they have a great opportunity to perform in front of a mass of college coaches all at the same time.
It makes our job booking that show for guests pretty easy, Tom, doesn't
yes.
it?
Yes, it does.
We don't really even book. We just kind of cherry-pick
who's there?
Guys. Who's there?
No, actually, I've got guys already lined
up. Yeah,
so.
That's because you're a better co-host than I am. Let's get you a break. If it's okay, Tony, we're going to keep you over for one more segment. All right, we're talking about the WFCA Combine coming up April 29th out at that beautiful facility, Sussex Hamilton. It's perfect for this. And we'll continue our conversation on that on the other side. This is the Pick and Save, Wisconsin Football Coaches Association show presented by Raising the Stakes Fundraising and Leadership Development on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.